Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, brought to you by Gerwack.net, ProWrestlingBetweenTheSheets.net, and don't forget, of course, our friends at the Cobra Kai Dojo of Sun Valley, California, where fear and mercy are not accepted. We want to thank TJ Perkins for stopping by. He was super cool to have on. Don't forget, he is at Mascara Manic. Our newest visitor to the program, you did experience a couple years ago when he was known as Shima Zion and was a Filipino fashion model. Since then, he has amazingly evolved into, I kid you not, this isn't a work. He is one of the premier DJs in the club scene nationally here in the United States, and he's done some international dates as well. He is former TNA X Division champion. He was, some people would call him the manager of the former TNA World Tag Team Champions in the Bromans. He is at Zima TNA. I get it mixed up all the time. The one and only Zima Ion is here with us. Thank you for taking time out of your training schedule and joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Hello to everybody listening on the internet or on your smartphones.
Now, the last time we had talked in a terrestrial sense, because we've sort of communicated through Facebook over the years, you were my favorite Filipino fashion model, and you had been doing indie dates. For fans that aren't aware of it, take them through the process of getting recruited by an organization the size of TNA Wrestling. Is it you sending them a DVD? Does somebody scout you out at a show? How did you end up being a part of TNA Wrestling?
You know, that's kind of a funny question, because you would think I'd get asked that question pretty regularly. I'm not sure anyone's asked me in previous interviews how I ended up in TNA. So I'm happy to tell that story right now.
Excellent.
I don't know how I got to TNA.
You have no idea? Really?
Yeah, because I had never sent them a DVD or a you know, you hear the story. Send them an 8x10, send them your resume, send them a DVD with two matches and a promo. Like, I mean, that's stuff we would hear throughout the years in wrestling if you wanted to get a look by a major organization. Yeah, I did none of that with TNA. I'm not even 100% sure how they knew to contact me, but everyone in wrestling is two phone calls away, so not that hard to track down. I think if I were to really put it together, I've heard a couple different variations. One story I heard was D'Lo Brown got an email from a wrestler trying to get a look from TNA, and in his match that he sent to D'Lo, I was the opponent, and D'Lo was more impressed with me than he was with the guy sending the email in the first place.
That's awesome.
I heard that was a story, but I'm not sure that was like the deciding factor. TNA had contacted me actually 3 years before I was in TNA. They contacted me for a tryout back in 2008. I had just wrestled Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin on an independent show, and they recommended me, and I got an email from Terry Taylor, thought it was going to happen 3 years earlier than it did, but nothing ever came from it. I never heard from TNA again, so I wondered maybe Alex Shelley had recommended me. And then I had just heard that they had a list of independent guys they wanted for the X Division tournament they were doing back in 2011 when I originally came in. I heard they had a list of guys, and the guys they were contacting were signed elsewhere. Like, maybe they had contacted, like, Ricochet, and he was with Dragon Gate. They contacted somebody else, he was signed with somebody. And then as they just went down the list, I somehow was on the list. And they contacted me, and I was available. So it's definitely one of those three stories or a combination of all of them. I don't know.
Did you have a say in going from Shima Zion to Zima Ion, or was that something that creative presents to you?
Oh, man, you're firing all cylinders with the question, because the night before my debut at TNA, D'Lo Brown approached me and told me, hey, man, come up with a name for tomorrow. And I had been wanting to get rid of that Shima Zion name for the longest time. So I was really excited for this opportunity to have a different name. And I stayed up, you know, most of the night and came up with a list of like 30 different names.
Oh, God,
and
really?
A couple of them were gems. Most of them terrible, but a couple could have worked.
How bad?
I was already with my list of names. I was already with this list of names, right?
Right.
And I get the TV the next day, and I approach Vince Russo, head writer at the time, and I'm like, hey, Vince, I've got my list of names. Maybe you could look through them, see if you like one of them. He's like, oh, I already got a name for you. Oh? He's like, yeah, you were Shima Zion, right? I got something close to that, so you don't even really have to change your name. Zima Ion. Oh boy, I did not like that name, let me tell you. I was not particularly happy that I was going to be stuck with an even more ridiculous variation to an already ridiculous name. But it's my first day in the company. What am I going to do, say no to the head writer? Like, no, I'm trying to get a job here. I'm not going to show that I'm difficult to work with on day one.
Oh, wow.
So I just accepted the name Zima Ion. Because at this point, I didn't even know if they were going to sign me. I thought this might just be like a one-shot for me. But, you know, obviously the goal was to get a job. But I'm like, eh, well, whatever. We'll just go with it. Who knows? So that's how I initially got the name Zima Ion. And, you know, joke was on me. I got stuck with the name for years. And I'm pretty sure, like, most people still think of me as Zima Ion, even though I've tried to get DJZ over as my wrestling name. Mm-hmm. That's usually Zima Ion everywhere I go, still to this day.
Now, if I remember correctly, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. Mom had something to do with a lot of your previous ring attire. Did she get involved with the TNA gear, or does TNA have their own seamstress department that you can go to and say, okay, I want to transition away from the Filipino fashion model to what eventually became DJZ.
No, my mother did not have a hand in making my wrestling gear in TNA. They do have a seamstress on hand, but I have not gone through her. The guy in Los Angeles, a Mexican dude who makes a lot of gear for the luchadors, and he does a fantastic job. I've worked with him since 2011. And still to this day, he's making all of my crazy ring gear and my ring costumes. My mom, she's just really busy, and I don't want to like add on to her already hectic schedule with requests for wrestling gear. So we've moved on. But yeah, she used to do all my early stuff back in the day when I was starting out.
You've done some interesting matches during your TNA career going back to 2011, and the one I want to bring up is the one that I've seen enough times in person that I still fear for people that I'm friends with are in that match, and that's the Ultimate X, where eventually you won the championship at Destination X. Is that possibly the most harrowing, dangerous situation you've been in there? And for people that have never actually seen it, how do you, as a performer, get yourself mentally prepared to go up there and try to shimmy across and get a belt, and oh god, I'm going to fall, and I'm going to fall in a way I may not control myself?
Yeah, it's a pretty intimidating match for sure. The first time I did it, they wanted me to climb up the scaffolding to the very top of the little, like, I don't know what you call it, the scaffolding that holds the whole thing together. They wanted me to climb to the top of that and then kind of like hang down and then balance myself for a second on the rope to grab the X Division title. This was at Destination X 2012 Destination X. And I was terrified, like going through earlier in the day and practicing, climbing up that thing. I was shaking. I was terrified. And then thinking, hey, I have to do this on live pay-per-view in front of this entire audience tonight. And winning my first major championship. Like, this is a whirlwind of thoughts and emotions going through my head. It was very overwhelming. So on top of all this, hang on, I have to climb this crazy like contraption and balance on a rope for a second in order to grab this title. So, yeah, it was very intimidating. And it doesn't get any easier. Like, every time I do the match, it's, you know, it's definitely something that I have to mentally prepare myself for. And usually I don't have much time to prepare myself for it because I don't find out most of the time that I'm in an Ultimate X until the day of the Ultimate X. So it's not like I have the night before to get myself psyched up and prepared. It's like now I'm showing up to TV tapings and I'll see the Ultimate X being constructed and I'm like, oh, that might be for me tonight. And usually it is, but I've, you know, tried to have some fun with it. And one of my favorite Ultimate X matches that I've had at TNA was a year ago on the UK tour. Pretty sure the match is on YouTube, so anybody that's listening wants to check it out, please do. It was a lot of fun. We did a three-way tag match, the Wolves versus the Bromans versus and Manic. And we tore the house down. It was in London, Wembley Arena. We started the show off, just set the tone for the whole evening and really rocked it. And we only actually climbed the Ultimate X once in the entire match the very end. So it's a very very interesting match in that regard because, like, crowd was into it and we didn't have to do anything dangerous and only actually used the gimmick once in the match for the finish. So worth going out of your way for. Do check it out. It was one of my favorites.
You've been in, dealt with a lot of top name talent during your time in the company. Sadly, your title reign came at the hands of Rob Van Dam, and you've been in ring with people like Bully Ray and Austin Aries, Kenny King, Chris Sabin. Is there anyone that you may have sat there that you knew before you got into TNA that you sat there and said, okay, I need to pinch myself. I'm really going to get in the ring with this person?
Not really. I don't usually feel that way about the guys that I'm wrestling, even when it's been a Rob Van Dam or somebody like that. For me, I'm at a point where it's business as usual, and I actually do enjoy wrestling with big-name guys because, like, they are usually quite easy to work with. And if there was one moment that I did have that where I kind of had to pinch myself, it was probably 2 years ago, me and Jesse Goddard's were booked against Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Oh, and wow.
That was probably the one time where I just, like, had to like, be real and say, all right, 15-year-old me is really proud right now. Because I grew up watching the Hardy Boys, and they were, like, my favorite wrestlers and my friend's favorite wrestlers. So it was really cool to do that match, know that, like, my friends that I grew up watching wrestling with could watch it and see me with the Hardy Boys in the same match. Like, it was definitely a cool feeling. And we had a good match, too.
Majority of the fans that are listening to this will know you under the DJ Z name. Before we address the duo you ended up being paired with, do you approach creative and say, I've got this idea? And which actually happens first, you becoming the professional DJ or the character came first?
I was a DJ before the character.
Okay.
Basically what happened was, if I want to get really in-depth with this, I can, but whatever, I don't think I've told the story that many times. I did a WWE tryout in 2010, and I realized I did not have a very interesting story. Like, the guy who's an independent wrestler who's been trying to make it all these years, just looking for his big break, yeah, they've heard that story a million times. So I went in there thinking I was really interesting, and by the time I left, I was like, wow, I couldn't be more unoriginal. So I started thinking, like, I need to have another passion, because it occurred to me, at least from my point of view, the guys that they thought were really interesting were the guys that came from some different world, like a football player or a musician or an actor, whatever it was. Like, they seemed to gravitate to me more towards guys that came from somewhere else besides just independent wrestling. So I had to really, like, dig deep and think, is there anything else that I'm passionate about besides professional wrestling? The answer was not really, but if there was one thing, it was music. music's been like the only thing I've ever cared about on par with pro wrestling. But I was so focused on wrestling all these years, I never took the time to learn how to play guitar or start a band or whatever. So I kind of just chalked that up as like a dream that I was never going to actually chase. Until I saw a friend of mine that I went to college with had started posting all these pictures on Facebook of him becoming a DJ. Just out of the blue, he's like, I want to be a DJ. And it wasn't even a year later, he had moved to New York City, was throwing the hottest party at Webster Hall, and
oh, wow.
He was, in fact, a DJ, and he still is a DJ. But I saw these pictures, and I'm like, DJing? There's a thing that I could do and get good at, because here's a friend of mine who just started doing it, and he's apparently doing really well. And it's relevant to pop culture, and wrestling always reflects pop culture. So I saw that, and I'm like, this is what I need to do. I need to become a DJ, like, immediately. And I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time. I Googled DJ school, Washington, D.C., because that's how my friend got started. He had gone to a DJ school in New York City. So I Googled DJ school, Washington, D.C., as if it were fate. The DJ school is located, like, 5 miles from my house.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah, and it's, like, the only one. There's, like, a one in New York City, one in D.C., and there isn't another one on the East Coast. So what are the chances that 5 miles from my apartment, the only other DJ school on the East Coast besides New York City would be right there? So to me, I was like, it's meant to be. And then in 2012 is when I started chasing the DJ dream, and I was learning it throughout 2012, started playing shows in 2013, and when I had my injury with my appendix, I was left at home, unable to wrestle, unable to work out, so all I did was DJ. And it was during that time when I was on the shelf that the Bromans had won their first tag team title at TNA, and there was an episode of Impact where they had a celebration with the championships, and they had a DJ in the ring with them. The guy they used was just like a one-night shot. He wasn't like a real DJ or somebody they were going to keep on, but they liked the visual of the Bromans with their own DJ. So when that was mentioned, Robbie E., I believe it was, told TNA, why don't we just use Z-Mion? He's a real DJ, and he's just sitting at home. So that's how it all got started. They were like, yeah, that's a great idea. And they brought me on, and I knew how to play the character immediately because I was doing it in real life. So it was just a perfect storm.
Who comes up with those hairdos, man? Because my kids are sitting at home, and they're going like, "That I want that color." And I was like, no, you don't want that color. He gets paid to wear that color, honey.
Yeah, just more things that fell into place for me, really. I moved to Chicago 2 years ago, and I started hanging around the DJ scene here, and there were some DJs that had some very interesting hairstyles, much like myself, and they connected me to a barber shop called the Rockstar Hair Salon. It's in the south side of Chicago, and the guys there do amazing work. They can do all the crazy designs. They can shave into your head, and they can do all the crazy colors as well. So getting connected with those guys just took my wild hairstyle to a whole nother level. And they still do my hair to this day, although I stopped doing the colors. Pretty sure my hair was going to fall out if I had bleached it one more time. So went back to the natural black hair, but still doing the crazy designs, still always keeping my hair interesting. And I'll probably keep it that way for the foreseeable future.
If there are music fans out there who know someone like BT or Ferry Corsten or some of the international DJ names that are out there, who do you compare yourself to, if you could, or does DJ Zima Ion himself have his own style?
As far as my DJing style, I would just say that I compare myself to a lot of the electronic music DJs that are out there because they cater to the ADD of young people in this country and in this generation, meaning that we play a lot of songs in an hour. So if you poke me on for an hour set, I'm going to run through about 50 different tracks in that 1 hour. So I'm mixing and changing the tracks up literally every minute almost, because like people have short attention spans. You got to keep them on their toes. And that's what I like to do. I'm myself that way. Like, I have a short attention span as well. So if I'm playing a song for, like, a full 2-3 minutes, I'm getting bored because I'm just standing there, you know. I want to be doing something constantly. And the challenge of just mixing every other minute, it makes you do a lot of work. And it shows the people, like, hey, I'm actually doing something up here. I'm not just standing around and being a human iPod. It's like, no. I'm doing work every minute. I'm mixing a new song. I guess you could compare it to what Skrillex or Diplo. Yeah, probably Diplo is a good example of somebody okay. who does that style. And the first person that caught my attention doing it that way. I mean, it's the way a lot of DJs mix nowadays anyway.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this, also because my wife is a fan of the show, so I'd get smacked. Your broman partner, Robbie E., was a part of The Amazing Race with Brooke. If Brooke wasn't available and they came to you and said, so, we're going to take you off TV and you're going to go around the world with Robbie E., would you have done it? And did you even get to watch the show and sit there and go, ah, damn, I would have liked to have done that. Or yeah, that's not my style, man. I don't do that.
Well, it would have been a little strange if I would have been in there instead of Brooke, because I believe it was like a couples show.
Well, take out the couples thing for a minute. Just make it the traditional Amazing Race.
Yeah, I've never seen that show before. I don't have cable. I did not get to watch and support my friend Roddy E. on the show, but of course I would have done it. I feel like I've already gone all over the world with Roddy E. I've been in probably 5 or 6 different countries with that guy. So... Oh. You know, I think I could handle the experience, and it'd be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, you know, he did not win $1 million, but I know he didn't walk away with nothing, so it was a good experience all around.
TNA's had a few different homes over the years. It's been with Spike, it was with Destination America, and now it's on Pop TV, which seems to be the biggest audience available to them. What do you think so far dealing with TNA Wrestling? How do you think this Pop TV thing's working out for the company?
I saw the first couple episodes on Pop, and I thought they were quite enjoyable. I think it's a good fit for sure. Pop TV, around the same number of households as Spike TV. Not exactly the same, but not too far off either, if you really go and look at the numbers. So it's great to be able to have like a wide audience able to watch the show again. And I feel like there's a new energy with Pop TV. Towards the end of the Destination America run, I felt like the show was lacking a little as far as the energy goes. And I do think we've got that back now with Pop TV. And the show's fine. Like, the people that complain often about TNA, I wonder how much they actually watch the product. Or if they're just trying to be hip and cool by dogging TNA. It's like, if you actually watch the show... It's not bad. It's quite enjoyable, as I was saying. And, yeah, I hope we have a good relationship with Pop moving forward and hope we're going to be on that network for years to come.
In the remaining moments we have here, fans will know that before the shows went overseas, we had an X Division title change with Trevor Lee now under the control of Gregory Shane Helms is the champion, defeating Tigre Uno. How much do you know of Trevor Lee, and is there a possibility of DJZ getting back his X Division gold?
I mean, there's definitely a possibility that Trevor Lee and I will cross paths at some point over the next few months. I'd say that's almost a guarantee. But I did not know much about him before he got to TNA. I knew that he had created a buzz on the independent scene through Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and other companies like that, but I had never actually seen much of his work. He's quite impressive, definitely breathed some new life into the X Division, and he's a buzzworthy guy in the wrestling scene at the moment, and I do think that's what TNA kind of needed to get interest back on the X Division. We needed some guys who were making waves in the wrestling world, and Trevor Lee definitely fits that description. So I think he's going to have a great run as champion, and I'm excited to see the matches that he has for the title, and I'm excited to get in there with him myself.
As I mentioned to the fans, you are a social media user at ZemaTNA. Since this will air after the Valentine's Day holiday, any upcoming dates towards the end of February we want to mention for the fans?
Yeah, I'll be at AIW in Cleveland tomorrow. That's a really cool independent promotion. And next weekend, I'll be in England wrestling for Southside, which is a really hot independent company out there.
Seems
like the UK has got the hottest independent scene in the world right now, so I'm excited anytime I can be a part of it. So we'll be over there February 20th for Southside and February 27th for NWA Fight Nation.
That is awesome. And you also post your, when you do club dates as well, correct? You'll post that on the social media sites?
Yeah, I haven't been DJing clubs so much lately. I've taken some time to focus on actually making the music. So
I've
been producing and making beats for, I'm making beats for over a year now, but I'm about to release some hip-hop tracks I did where I collaborated with some rappers. I made the beats, they rapped on them, and I actually remixed and sampled some old pro wrestling entrance themes for the project, so it'll be really cool. It's a way for me to bring my two worlds together, because there's got to be something in it for the wrestling fans to get them to want to hear my music. So, yeah, I remixed some old wrestling themes, and we got some dope rappers on it, and I'll be dropping that probably by March at the latest.
That is awesome. We want to thank DJ Z for being with us here on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. If you love the show, dislike the show, let us know. It is facebook.com/Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. It is also on Twitter at my name is Wojcik. That's spelled Wojcik. And thank you for joining us for this session, kids. We'll talk again soon.